This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Wombles Had a Dream podcast, the number one AFC Wimbledon podcast. My name is Lee Finch, and tonight I am joined by the one and only Danny Baker. Danny, how are we? We good?
Well, never mind me being good. Have you sorted your life out or what, after last week?
Yeah, so, well, you, like, mate, the problem is you threw me under a big Wombles Had a Dream bus last week.
It's your own boss. Yeah,
I tagged you in and said, oh, Danny Baker was new, and you went, well, don't mention me in all this, even though you were there. You see me press recall, it just didn't convert because obviously I had a battery failure. The thing went
battery failure. Look, let's be honest, in the Wombles Had a Dream pyramid, you are head of IT. You always have been. I'm sort of the idea, the creator, the sort of the runner, that, you know, the assistant to the head of the creation. You unfortunately, that lies under your jurisdiction. And
yeah, I get
that
it, yeah.
Is something that you need to accept.
It was, but, on me, yeah, yeah. Look, I had a battery failure. What could I do about it? And then when we come back up, you saw me press record. Well, you heard it, and then it didn't convert. And
look, I took responsibility. I fell on my sword on the valuations of the Wombles Had a Dream fantasy team. I sat on that. I accepted it. I've taken responsibility for the times when I've put out the guess the score thing, the predictions league, and it wasn't quite working. I accepted that responsibility.
You know what is annoying?
You need to start doing that properly.
You know what is annoying?
I feel like a one-man band.
There's two. Good thing is we got the Damien Francis that saved, because that was a really good chat. Can you imagine that had gone? That
well, without me, it was pointless. But
45 minutes talking to Damien, good man, good lad. It was a really good chat. But the other 45 minutes that people didn't listen to was actually really quite good. It was quite funny.
Was good,
do you know what I mean? We're calling you Fat Ben Affleck,
because we
started off talking about doublegangers, because, as I said to you, one of my close friends, Alex Hernandez, a Block 119 stalwart, one of the good lads. He looks like De Zerbi, the Brighton manager.
Yeah, which is absolutely ridiculous.
And I said to you, do you have anyone who look? And you went, people say that I look like a chubby Ben Affleck.
I didn't say chubby. I said my
obese
Hannah's mum says I look like Ben Affleck, which she's absolutely, of course she's right.
Yeah, yeah. If he was in his batsuit, obviously.
Not batsuit. You know, if you think about Argo, as an example, another, you know, an Oscar-winning film, I should hasten to say.
Argo.
We've not seen Argo.
Heard of Argos? Oh,
no. Yeah, that's about where you were at, actually, Argos. Well, if you haven't seen Argo, it's a sensation film. Anyway, so my doppelganger is probably
Fat Ben Affleck.
An elite level Oscar winning actor and director, and yours is the character at a catchphrase, which I think sums up our relationship slash the power struggle within us beautifully.
The funny
Oscar
thing about
winner
that is
versus winner caravan on catchphrase.
Obviously on my Twitter and stuff is Chips Finch and everything, and then people say, oh, like, everyone calls me Chips and stuff, and no one's ever questioned it. Like, why are you called Chips? Because I'm carrying a few pounds myself, a bit like yourself, Danny.
I'm not carrying any pounds.
Carrying extra pounds.
Just carrying,
people, I think people assume it's because I like chips. But it's not.
Who don't like chips?
It's because my mates once said that I look like the catchphrase character, Mr. Chips.
Yeah, which I think is fair.
When I didn't have my beard, I did look like, yeah, Mr. Chips. And as I said, I agree. I think you do look like Ben Affleck if he was 5 stone overweight.
The 5 stone, I take umbrage to. But well, I also mentioned that my mate Fred looks like Pirate Steve from Dodgeball, which was sensational. Any other doppelgangers? There's also, of course, Titch Marsh.
Yes,
which is that is incredible, by the way. Yes. He is that is as good.
Before
as
I knew him, I actually thought it was. I thought, well, I mean, we've got Alan Titchmarsh, who's a Wimbledon fan.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But there's apparently a double of yourself, ain't there, out there? Like, really?
There should be. I just wonder whether everyone gets to meet their double. I think I saw my double. I was doing ages and ages ago. I was working at the Oval. And there was a security guard, and everyone went, "You got to see this bloke." And I looked at him, I thought, Jesus, I think that might be me. Have you met your double act? Have you met your double gang?
Another one I've just thought of for you. You remember the Dandy Comics, the guy that used to eat all the pies?
What, Desperate Dan?
Desperate Dan. That's a bit.
Are you just saying that because my name's Danny?
No, but you look like Desperate Dan as well.
I had was Brian Connolly. You remember? It's a puppet.
Oh, yeah.
He used to call me Dangerous Brian at school, which is ridiculous because normally your nickname's shorter and I was longer. But
I've had Fat Fabian Bartes.
That's not even funny.
Anyone with a bald and beard, I get called like. Yeah, so. But yeah.
All of them.
Yeah, as I said, that was it because, as I said, one of my good mates, Alex Hernandez, looks like De Zerbe from Brighton.
Are there many other doppelgangers? I mean, I do think Titchmarsh is pretty good.
Can't think of any.
There's some good ones. Yeah. But in the office this week, just on a slightly random, very, very quick one, we were talking about the biggest thing that's happened to football. And it's again, Wednesday pre-podcast chat. I said that the biggest thing that has occurred is the Bosman. I thought the Bosman rule changed football totally. But obviously, you've got others who go, match of the day, the start of the Premier League. Someone said the rebrand of the Champions League. What's the biggest thing that you feel like, holy crap, that kind of launched football into a completely different world?
You might be right with the Bosman, really, because it pretty much killed ITV at the time, didn't it? Because remember, they pumped loads of money in and people were losing players for nothing and stuff. And like youth team players. Remember ITV?
Yeah, they did.
At the time, I think they went bust and it pretty much crippled football.
I mean, Sky TV with the Premier League.
Well, you're not talking about like the recent Liverpool thing, are you, with the offside and the VAR?
Well, I'm talking about anything. Like, the other one that someone said was the back pass rule. Like, when that came in, the whole game kind of has moved ridiculously quickly. The other one that another guy said, which I don't agree with, but he was saying the away goal rule, that's basically banished. Like, it's just dumb one.
Yeah, I think they should bring that back. The away goal rule.
I do. I just watch it a lot of time and I'm like, yeah. And I'm not very big on penalties. I'm not going to lie. And the reason why, I just feel like a penalty shootout is great drama. I get it. But I just feel like the best football team should win a game of football and it should be based on football factors. And I would have, you know, you take a player off every 2 minutes and it's got a bit of tactical nous to it rather than a penalty shootout. But watching a penalty shootout when you're not involved, or even better, watching one when you win is outrageous. Well, so it's difficult. Yeah.
I like penalty shootouts, I really do.
And of course you do.
I don't get the thing you say about the best team will win because we've watched some really poor games and we could be playing a week without scoring a goal. So what do you do? Just never end the game or something? Like, you have to end it.
Well,
somehow.
No, you just no. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Every 2 minutes you bring a player off, and eventually the game
you
comes
have one,
five
one.
On five. Well, it's 5-on-5, 1-1, 7-on-7.
That's
and then whoever scores the next goal wins. At least it's based on football.
No. Well, penalties. Just be good at penalties.
Oh, it's rubbish, mate. It's boring.
Practice. And it's all about the pressure, if they can handle the pressure and stuff. You know the one, though?
I get that.
FIFA are literally trying to kill the World Cup. Like, they've, what, 100 teams an hour. And soon it's going to be every single team from every nation going to be able to enter. Have you seen the recent one they're doing?
No.
But the 2030 World Cup is going to be across 6 countries.
Oh,
in
God.
3 different continents. It's going to be, the actual tournament's going to be held in Portugal, Spain and Morocco. Not too bad.
2 continents, yeah.
But the opening game, or the opening 3 games, are going to be in Uruguay, Argentina and Paraguay.
Oh, why though?
So can you imagine, like, you're England, you'll go all the way to Argentina, and then your next group game is in Morocco.
I just didn't, did they not learn from, like, that the Euros, when everyone was all over the place, it just didn't quite have any. It was so much better when
put
the
it in a
games are all
country.
in one place.
But the problem is, there's not that many countries that can hold the Euros nowadays, is it really? Like Germany,
all
Spain,
of them can.
Us, not all of them.
Yeah, of course.
Every
they
single
could.
European nation can, yeah?
I'm not saying every single one. I'm
You
saying
just said all of them.
I did say all of them, and I will take that back. But you can also, there are, if you're a country that can host Champions League football, surely Switzerland, they must
Like
have four or
Czech
five
Republic can't
stadiums.
hold Euros.
Why not?
Because they've only got about two stadiums that are decent.
Really?
Even do you see the West Ham game at the Slavia Prague? It's only old to about 22,000. You
yeah,
can't have the World Cup final at 22,000 seat stadium.
Yeah, but if you think about it, right, Qatar built all
Hungary,
they built their
Hungary
stadiums.
can't
Why
hold.
can't
Hungary can't
Of
hold
course they
the
can. Why
Euros.
can't you build the stadiums? That's what they did in
Because they've
Qatar.
got no money, these people.
What do you mean they've got no money?
They've got no money. Anyway.
They're hungry for success, Lee.
Ah, yeah, good. I've been to Czech Republic and Budapest to watch
Speaking
football as well.
Of success,
good
two
link.
Games, two wins.
Five goals, one conceded.
Just before we kick off all about how great we are, can we just mention Cheltenham? Have you heard about this?
11 games and still not scored a goal.
11 games, no goals. Like,
and
oh my God.
I know. That I'd be literally. Can you imagine this podcast?
No,
now, we were 11 games in and we hadn't scored a goal
literally,
yet.
A lad said that to me today. It was like, I was, you know, saying, I didn't podcast. He went, can you imagine if you're the, I haven't heard the Cheltenham podcast. I'm going to have to try and find it if there is one. The fact of doing it is crazy. But what a week, what a weekend. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well,
I saw about, I think I saw the first half pretty much of the Tranmere game, but I saw all of Harrogate. So hopefully
the whole of Tranmere.
Okay, go on then. So what did you make of it?
First 10, 15 minutes, it was like, who is this team? Wimbledon.
Yeah.
Like, they were literally like, just met up and it was like, well, this is not what we expect, especially with Reeves, Little playing, Sasu coming for his first start.
Yeah.
And it was like, whoa, what's happening here? Tranmere were meant to be rubbish. 10, 15 minutes, they go 1-0 up. And then Boris Little scores a good, really good goal as well. I don't
yeah,
think
was
people realise. Really good goal.
I still can't see the deflection.
No, I don't either. I think he places it in that corner.
I thought he just rolled it in the corner.
I thought at the time there was a deflection when he first hit it. But when I've watched it back, and especially there's a second angle from some Paul Lamperick, I can't pronounce it.
Paul Lepreik.
Lamperick in the side stand, who's recording it, and it looks to me like it just goes straight in. But there might have been a slight deflect. But what a goal.
Great
a really
finish.
Good move. Great build-up play. Great finish. The second goal, we touched on this on the debrief on Sunday, is well done to the referee for the second goal. Because
yep.
Bugle gets fouled on the halfway line, around about the halfway line, but he puts a great ball over to Ali. The ref allows the game to play on. Ali then cuts back, bosh, bosh, goal. And people always having a go at the officials and the
I agree with that.
And I thought the referee was absolute spot on. I just thought, once we went 2-1 up, Tranmere just couldn't live with us. The way we ping the ball around, the way Reeves is playing at the moment and orchestrating our back four. I think, is it Plough Lane by numbers, I think it is. Let me have a look quickly. Plough Lane by numbers made a really good, Plough Lane by numbers made a really good point regarding our back line. And saying, because they're so quick, and it's probably the quickest.
Ours are quick.
Ours, yeah.
Okay.
With Curry, Ogundia, Lewis and Johnson. Because they're so quick, we can push up so far. And if you haven't got a quick striker, which a lot of these teams don't, we see it on Tuesday against Harrogate and Tranmere didn't have a quick striker. They can't get in behind us.
Of course
they
can't.
We lap everything up in the air. It just means we can push on. Reeves and Little can just dictate. Little is just a different player from last season.
Definitely.
Just looking class.
But,
and Sasu
but this is the problem, Lee, though. Like we said about Pierce, we spoke about Brown. Because they can't get the go high enough because they're worried about being behind, the whole game just comes back 10 yards. And that gives them a lot more space, gives us less room to manoeuvre. I totally agree. I think that the way that we've gone about playing now that Curry's back has been huge. It will be really interesting when Callum Bailly's fit, whether he gets, if he's just completely out of the mix now.
No,
or
he
whether
comes
or not
in for Pierce
he'll,
for me.
Yeah, it's like the backup centre back.
Yeah, yeah.
He's,
oh,
not, he's, not, he's, not, he's not going to get in the starting lineup at the moment. I wouldn't. Have
well,
thought.
You can't. You can't.
No.
The two at the moment, and people are saying they're the best partnership we've possibly ever had. That's what people are saying.
I'm finding it hard to to find a better partnership apart from Oakins and Ward, obviously.
But
people worth saying, 8 or 9 million, that is.
Again, people are saying Joe Lewis is probably one of the best loans we've had. I'd love to try and sign him. I can't see it happening. I said before, I think someone said the other day they gave him a new contract to kind of protect their asset.
Yeah.
Because they paid money for him. They want to kind of.
Did they? Where did they get him from? Is he Torquay? Welsh, is he?
Torquay.
Oh, he's Torquay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah, because little, I'm only little played there.
Torquay, just near Cardiff.
No, I thought Joe Lewis was Welsh.
But that was the one. Conor Evans dropping out. Yeah, Joe Lewis is Welsh. Conor Evans dropping out was a strange one, but apparently it was just he felt his hamstring against Walsall. Probably going to happen when he hasn't played a lot of minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
Lakin is completely out of it now. I can see him going back in January to wherever well, he was
done anyway. He wasn't going to be only going to be January anyway. He's a Burton, isn't he, Lakin?
Burton, that's it. Sorry, yeah, Burton.
So it'll be interesting to see whether we... I'll tell you what would be interesting, and again, let's get carried away a bit because we've been crap for ages. It will just be fascinating to see whether or not the club decide to press a button and have a little go at it.
I just think we need one striker. Still think we're one striker missing if Ali gets injured or Ali has to go off somewhere. But can we talk about Sasu as well on Saturday against Tranmere?
Yep.
What a player we've got there, right? What against Harrogate, he wasn't as good, but against Tranmere, lively, quick, strong. Big,
I really like him.
Well.
I just felt against Harrogate, all of the players, and again, we'll kind of merge the chats a bit, they all just look really leggy. I just felt they all look quite tired.
Was you surprised he never changed it for Harrogate?
No. I wasn't surprised about not changing it, but we're going to have to change it for Mansfield because I thought by the end of Harrogate, we looked really leggy.
I would have changed.
Ali was quiet on Saturday, on Tuesday, I thought Sasu was really quiet. I thought Newford actually came on and looked brilliant.
Yes.
And again, I think that's kind of... I think it's so easy as fans to be the same team. And I think players can be the same. I was talking to one of the lads at work about his squad. He's assistant manager, Chipstead. And he was just like, players just don't understand that they're all going to get their chances. They're all going to get the chance to play. It's just when you're not playing, you can get the right ump. And I get it. I totally get it. But... we just need to make sure that everyone understands that they're going to have their time. You know, Ball had his six matches because Reeves was injured, and that will come again. And, Davison might have his little go when Ali goes away to Iraq and this sort of stuff. Everyone's just got to keep, we just need to keep everyone on boil, if that makes sense.
I agree. I think that's what we're probably doing quite well this season, though, because if you looked at the fan cam they put on the other day, or the bench cam, Ball looks like he's really enjoying himself here, and he's really taking to it, and he knows he's going to get a chance. I would have, against Harrogate, I would have probably rested Reeves. I don't think he's a risk that we need to be taking because he's so pivotal to our side. I would have started Ball because I think Ball's Reeves-esque. Not as good, obviously, but I don't think anyone is in this division.
No, I think Reeves is mental.
Yeah, and I think Ball and Little, I think they could have done a job still. I wouldn't have changed anything else, though, really. I would have played that. Ali's got off soon. We're one player away, one call-up away from the Bradford game being called off.
Which I think we could really do with.
See, I'm not 100%.
I mean, we've got
Bradford
the momentum.
Bradford are awful.
They are, but without Ali and without... Who's the other one? And I mean, Zanev's not the bigger deal, but
Zanev,
without Ali...
Possibly Morgan Williams could be the other one, get called up.
Yeah, well, I just feel like Ali's such a big player, and the difference between Ali and Davison is massive. And the last time, our only game when we've been really poor, in my opinion, was Stockport, and that was obviously when we lost more than just Ali. It was interesting that the Harrogate game, it was exactly what I was expecting, just a really tough battle. But, and again, apart from Boogie's goal, which was absolutely brilliant, it was a bit of a non-event, really, wasn't it?
I'll quickly go back to Tranmere game and then come back to you. The Tranmere game, did you think their red card was a red card?
Yes.
I did as well. I thought, what a silly challenge to make right in front of us, right in front of the fourth official. I think then...
At that time of the game, I just thought that was...
Causes so much issues for their team. They're really bad anyway. And I just thought we run over them. I thought Ollie Lewis said we were going to beat someone and beat them quite well, and we did. With the Harrogate game, I think people didn't realise. They see Harrogate, they see they've got small crowds. Not
2,000, only 2,000 midweek.
Yeah. But they're from a non-league. They come from non-league. What, in the last 10 years, they've come up the leagues like we have. So you can't
absolutely.
I mean, they've got massive teams in that in that area with Leeds not far away and stuff. So,
would you class us as a big club now in League Two, or are we not a big club?
I'd say we're in the
middle.
Top seven kind of clubs. You've got the Bradfords and stuff like that.
We sell out our stadium.
We could push on to 10,000, 12,000 if we can build the stadium up a little bit, Dan. But also the Harrogate, I think Joe made the point, Joe Mojo does our graphics, point that before we played them, they beat Salford.
They hit
the bar four times against Salford. Like pretty much done a big note. And I think they were going for three wins in a row as well. I think they've won the last two. So people forget that they see Harrogate and think, oh, we're going to beat them. It's like Tranmere. They see Tranmere second bottom, automatically. Tranmere were one of the tip teams to do all right this year. And I keep seeing this thing with Wimbledon fans keep going, oh, we're only beating the teams in the bottom half of the table. Well, not really, because some of these teams have been tipped to do well and they're just not. Like who had Crawley doing well this year? Like when we beat Sutton, everyone was going mad because Sutton always done a number on us. Sutton are awful this
season. And also, Lee, I'm not being
funny, but we had to batter them and we did.
Who gives a monkeys? We're a quarter of the season in already.
Do you know what I'll say?
And we're second, and we should really be top.
Like someone said today, like all we do is try and find things to moan about, right? Which kind of annoys me because this year I am rolling with it. I am enjoying every minute of the football. Even the Harrogate game, it was boring.
Are you
game.
Back on JJ? Is he JJ now?
Jackson. Johnny, yeah, JJ, obviously.
Yeah, you're not going Johnny Jackson, you're JJ. He's back in the
group. I keep seeing this as well, where are all the JJ outers, where are all the J... It's like, well, to be fair, last season, he probably was lucky he didn't get sacked. No, I don't think...
Definitely. There's no argument about that.
There was no one said anything wrong last year, in my opinion. I don't think anyone had their opinions last year that were incorrect. This year, he's turned it around. He's had Craig Cope behind him, which has helped with the players we've brought in. And it has helped that we've brought in Northern players that have come down, Joe Lewis's, Johnson's, Evans, players from the north and stuff, like, and we've got local boys like Bluegill has come in as well. And I think that's really helped him. And I think he took on board the stuff that did happen last year and the fans' discontent. And we just look a good outfit. We look a solid League Two outfit. And I think people just need to enjoy it. Enjoy the wins. Enjoy like 1-0 yesterday against Harrogate. It wasn't the prettiest game.
No.
But you'll come the end of the season and we are second in the league and we're going up automatic. You'll think, fuck, we won that game 1-0 again.
The other thing as well with the Harrogate game, we were quite comfortable. Like, Bass didn't really make huge... I'm not saying they had loads. We were comfortable.
We were the away team, and we went 1-0 up and kind of just then went... there was a couple, like, Ollie Lewis who come on the pod, he was up there, and he said it's the most comfortable game he's watched. He didn't... There was nothing scared of.
I think we played some really good stuff. I think we've now got players that there's not a lot of players on that bench you look at and go, oh, I hope they don't come on. I mean, are there any? I mean, Pierce maybe? Pierce and Brown? Are they the only ones you're a bit, oh God, if he comes in, this is a nightmare. Pierce is
because for me, he's slow and we go backwards then. And we struggle when Pierce comes in. Brown, I don't mind too much because he does give you that shit hazard. Like, Pell came on yesterday and done exactly what you want from an away player to kind of kill the game a little bit. We're winning, kill it. Brown can do that. But Curry just gives you that different...
It's just like I said, it's nice to sort of have it. Again, I think the thing for me is just nice to have a team that we're proud of. That is like, we feel it's a really good reflection of us as a club. And like I said, I know, you know, Saturday could be a tricky game, but they've drawn seven of their games, I've got to say. I can't remember really the last time we've had three games in a row and we've won three games.
It's just enjoyable. Like the Tranmere game, Dan, was just enjoyable to watch, just pinging passes, watching a youth team player come on, Sasu start for the first time and just do really well. Nerfield coming on and playing really well. And you know what I mean? We have got what looks like a proper team again that people want. And we were saying last year, we want a team that's going to give 100% in every game. And I think even the Harrogate, I think we gave 100%. We just looked tired. They just, we went 1-0 up and we just closed up shop and we went away.
I'll tell you what has been really nice before we move on, I'm sure. It's been lovely at school today. I was driving the kids to a foot match today. At least half of the bus were talking to me about Wimbledon. Like, one was like, oh, Mr. Baker, did you see this? It was so wicked. Like, It's one of the things when I was, and again, I don't want to go too soppy here, but I remember being younger and going to school and being like well excited to talk to my teachers about football. One of them, Mr. Warden, his name was, he was an Arsenal fan. And I really looked forward to talking to him about whenever we were allowed to Arsenal, and there was always a bit of needle, a bit of a banter about it, but it was always wicked talking to them about football. And the kids were genuinely talking about, what do you think about Alejandro? They were all, they knew all the names, all the players, even the guys who were not particularly big on it, obviously with FIFA and stuff. They were genuinely talking about Wimbledon in a really good way. And it was just like, yeah, this is wicked. Like, really,
exactly,
really wicked.
I'm getting that from a lot of people. So I spoke about my mate Gary Saxby, the big Irishman, massive Celtic fan. He takes his son now to Wimbledon, and he's a Wimbledon fan now. He's got a signed shirt. A couple of my mates are Chelsea fans, and they were in the Chelsea end when we played them. And you might have seen my mate little Dave was running down the front giving it to Wimbledon. Yeah. That's our mate. I spoke to him before. He takes his boy to Wimbledon. He's got both home and away kit. He loves it. He's a Wimbledon, like, do you know what I mean? These are the kids that will grow up going, I'm actually a Wimbledon fan now because it's local to me. I can afford to go, and I'll start going away. Like my boy lives in Melton near Leicester. He loves it. He can't wait. The other day at Birmingham train station, he was looking at all the places he can get to when he's a couple of years older. Start going on his own. And he's like, right, I can get to Birmingham. I can go up to Salford. I can go to Newport, Forest Green. He's like, I can go to all of the games. And that's what it's about, Danny. And it's good. We finally got it going on the pitch, which is what we were after.
It must be nice because the club have been waiting for this. You know, Plough Lane has been the build-up. And the last kind of piece of the jigsaw has been, can we create a product on the pitch that reflects the ground and everything else? And the ground looks great. We're getting some movement on it. Yes, there's always teething issues, and we're constantly working through them. But it's just brilliant to kind of get to the point where we're getting the pitch stuff done well, and yes, we're sorted in terms of the pitches now. What's happening on the pitch is working. I just think it's brilliant. I'm so buzzing that we're getting it sorted. It's lovely.
It's just a joy to come out of Plough Lane, or come, like as I said, I left Walsall buzzing. Do you know what I mean? It's just good to leave games actually happy with the performance you've seen. Do you know what I mean? And actually beating teams, and beating them well. Like I said, Tranmere 4-1. That's a murder. You know what I mean? And then we'll beat them all. We'll beat them all. Bring them all on.
Bring them all on. Bring them all down to Plough Lane, to new Plough Lane. Slash Cherry Red Records.
It's just Plough Lane, not New Plough Lane.
It
hate you when people sell it. It's
no,
not.
It is
Plough Lane.
You're a Cherry Red Records man. That's what you are.
It's Plough Lane. When we come back, we'll be discussing Wimbledon's most important goal.
Summit New Plough Lane.
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast. By the fans, for the fans.
Well, we're back, and we're going to be discussing Wimbledon's most important goal. So what is, to you, the goal that was the most important, pretty much? So, Danny, where do you want to start with this? Because there's a number of goals that people would say and throw
well,
in
I,
the hat.
I think we
there's
need
only
to
one
bring
winner
up some,
for me.
Okay, well, let's bring up some decent contenders. I think it's important to bring up some notable contenders. So we're talking about AFC and their... AFC, right? So I'm going to just...
AFC Wimbledon, yeah.
Let's chuck some out. So I'm going to say Lyle Taylor, his goal against Plymouth.
Yep.
I'm putting that out there straight away.
Not the most important goal for me.
No,
but
no,
yeah,
okay.
It was an important goal at the time of the game as well.
Just chuck them out there.
Yeah, right.
I'm saying Steve Seddon at Luton.
Yes.
I think that's a big goal. So Steve Seddon at Luton, Jack Midson at home against Fleetwood.
The penalty.
I think that's a big goal.
Yeah.
Sam Delabonna.
What?
What's his name? Not Sam Delabonna. He was going to play at Chelsea. What's his name? Mark DeBola. Sam Delabonna.
Huh? Who's that? It's like that other geezer we had played
Mark,
for us. In
Mark,
areas,
Mark DeBola. I think
Mark,
that was quite...
Mark DeBola's the number one.
No, it's not.
It's number one.
No.
Because I know what
no.
you're going to say is number one, but Mark DeBola is number one.
No, it's incorrect, unfortunately.
Right. So the other ones you said are not the number
well,
one.
Well, yeah, but part. I haven't finished yet. I've not
go
finished
on,
yet.
Sorry.
Well, no, what you're doing is you're cutting. It's an absolute farce, this is. What gosh. About someone like... Who is the goal? Obviously, Kedwell's penalty.
I was just about to say, you haven't even mentioned Kedwell's penalty. That's the one I think you're going to say is number one.
Well, I'm just saying it.
I've got one for you, right?
Okay.
That ain't a Wimbledon goal.
All right. What do you mean it's not a Wimbledon goal?
It's not a Wimbledon goal.
All right.
And it was chalked off.
chalked off.
Yeah. Do you remember Accrington at home? Billy Key scores, but as he goes to volley it, the ref blows up for half time.
Yes.
We would have drawn that game, or did we draw it 0-0 or we'd have lost it? I can't remember. But
no, was that the one with is that in the playoffs?
No. This is in the league game.
Oh, right. I was gonna say, Tom Beer's goal was quite important as well.
If we had not scored that goal, or if Billy Key had scored that goal, we wouldn't have had enough points to get in the playoffs that season.
Yeah.
But the ref chalked it off. So it's not an important goal, but it's you know what I mean? It was a goal, should have stood, but it didn't. But talking about Aki, playoff semi, which one? Bayo's goal or Noel Taylor's?
The problem is, it's always easy to go and pick the winning goal. It's always easiest. But I think Bayo's one to get level. I did feel that once he scored the goal, after that, I thought we were host.
Still fuming about that game.
Of course you are. You didn't go, did you?
No, because my missus broke her finger.
Don't you bring her into this poor
cow. She had to go to hospital to have an operation. And she was out of it. And I had to look after the kids. So I meant I had to miss Accrington away. And I get reminded of that pretty regularly by people.
Bit rude.
She's lucky I didn't divorce her.
Well,
we weren't married at the time, but she's lucky I didn't leave her. But the Mark De Bola is the most important goal in AFC Wimbledon's history.
It's not. You always talk about
because
this.
Because the reason why is obviously he scores to get us promoted. If we had not won promoted, if we're not beaten Staines that day, there's no way we'd have been in the Football League now. I think we probably would have. We would have been the highest.
Objection,
been now,
Your Honour. That's conjecture.
We wouldn't, because we wouldn't have got up. Say Staines beat us.
How do you know we didn't? How do you know we wouldn't have gone up the next year?
Because we might have gone up next year, but then we wouldn't have won the Conference South like we did, because there's teams that are around there. And then
how
we would
have
because it gave us the momentum to keep us pushing
on. You're talking nonsense.
Mark De Bola's goal is the most important goal in AFC Wimbledon's history.
It can't be. You're talking absolute gibberish.
It is.
Gibberish, you're talking.
What is the most important goal in Wimbledon's history?
Jack Midson.
What?
The penalty against Fleetwood.
No.
We are generally, and again, I will be careful with my wording here, but I just feel had we got relegated, I think we would have found it very difficult. Not like you, not, oh, this is the only thing that's going to happen. Bloody chips from catchphrase. Say what you see. Oh, I'll tell you what I see. I see that if Jack Midson didn't score that goal and we got relegated, I think we would have still been struggling today to get back in the league. Now, I just feel like that the conference to champ to League Two is massive. And I feel like the other ones, I feel like we were big enough with the energy to have gone up later, but getting into the Football League was such a big deal. Getting relegated would have been catastrophic. And we've seen Torquay, we've seen Your Mug Southend, we've seen York. We've seen Yeovil. We've seen
Scunthorpe now. They're in a conference north, mate.
There are a lot of teams. But, and even Wrexham, it took 20 years to get back. I just don't feel like...
So you're saying Danny Kewell's goal was the most important?
No, I'm saying...
To get us in the Football League?
No, I think staying in the Football League is more dramatic, is a bigger goal than getting up. I think it's Midson's goal to stay in the league is bigger than Kedwell's goal to get us up, for me.
I agree on that part, but Mark De Bola's goal is still the most important goal that we've ever scored, because I think we would have stagnated in non-league. I don't think we would have gone through the leagues as quick and as good as we would have done. I think we'd have struggled. I think we might have even still been a conference team now. I don't know if the ground comes with that, because obviously we're a non-league team. I think that was such an important goal to get out of the Roman Premier League. When we did, it gave us the momentum to kick on. The next year, I think we win the Conference South, first season? One year in the Conference South, straight into the conference. It's a couple of years in that, bosh, we're a Football League team. Without Mark De Bola's goal, I think we stay in the Roman Premier League. We probably go up the next year, but by that time, we've already missed Conference South. I think we then stay a couple of years in that, 2-3 years. Then I think we might get to the conference. And then we wouldn't be anywhere near where we are, especially the way the conference is now, with only one goes up and then about 15 teams in a playoff.
I feel they need to. I think they need to reshape it. But no, all right, so we can disagree with the most important goal. Which goal hurt the most? I've got. Well, I'll give you an example. the goal we conceded away at Fleetwood, the Zanev cock-up, and them scoring absolutely crushed me. I was absolutely gutted.
No, there's
when
one.
We conceded that.
And I don't really want to mention them.
Well, you're going to have to.
What a scum.
What?
The one that flicks off the heel and goes over Sullivan. Because we were so good that day. We had the atmosphere was lively. We literally took the piss out of them. We ran on the pitch, did whatever we wanted. We showed everyone that the real Wimbledon was us. We
did
were
you
in
feel
that game.
I mean, are we over? Is the Midson goal against Milton Keynes a big game? Do you think that's a big goal? I mean,
it wasn't an important goal, though, because it didn't matter. We didn't win. It was important to us at the time as fans because we needed that, because that was just unreal, weren't it? First game against them, bang, we score a goal. Everyone goes absolute ape shit. Yeah, it's brilliant. It's
that
big.
That was crazy.
You lose the game. And also, if what's his name squares the ball, we win that game 2-1.
Yeah.
And I really want he was down at Plough Lane recently. He's lucky I didn't bump into him because I would have had solid words with him.
Stephen Gregory as well.
I'd love to get him on the pod and ask him why did he not square it.
He also, but he was running along and he missed the sitter as
well.
What
a player he was as well, by the way.
Very, very, very good.
But
any other goals that proper hurt then? I think as well, I'll tell you the other one. I remember at Kings Meadow. Do you remember the game where everyone else got rained off and we still played? And then I think it was Fleetwood. Again, actually.
Oh, yeah, that goal.
And they won 1-0 at ours.
And it should have been called
off. This game should have been called off. It's absolutely farcical.
Do you remember when we passed the ball forward, it just got stuck?
I just remember the girl going in and going like, okay, we are properly in the doggy doo-doos. We are in a world of trouble here. I think that goal was really, really painful. And I also, and I knew we were down anyway, but the first goal on the last day of the season when we got relegated to League Two was horrible as well. Because it was like, oh, guys, seriously, like, proper kick in the teeth. Like, we were all like, right, just give us something to play with. And we're like, yeah, we'll get hammered again. It was just like, found that really, really frustrating.
I know it's AFC Wimbledon, but the Southampton goals hurt when we got relegated, when we were Wimbledon.
The Southampton goals did, but for me, it didn't hurt as much as the Bradford goals.
I was just about to say Bradford.
It didn't hurt for me. The worst I've ever felt watching Wimbledon in terms of conceding goals was Leicester at home.
In the cup?
Yep, Steve Walsh. Gutted when I'm walking from that ground. I was so light upset.
Chelsea was a killer.
Everson. Chelsea at home in the cup. No, Gianfranco Zola in the semi. That was horrible. That was I remember feeling absolutely rubbish.
Yep.
That was crap. I also I really felt rubbish when we lost to Palace 4-0.
Yep.
And Real Art.
Do you know
Real
important,
scored.
Important now, goals?
Go on.
John Artson against Villa that time when we thought we were going to stay up and everyone went mad because we thought, do you know what I mean? And also, what was the other one? Literally just about to say a goal on it. So
Robbie
Ells in the FA
United.
Cup. Yeah, just about and Marcus Gales.
Marcus Gale was a big one.
They were important goals.
There's been some really, really...
weren't so important goals. They were just important at the time in them games. I just think under AFC Wimbledon, we've had a lot of occasions where, as I said, if Mark DeBola don't score, I don't think we get where we are. Danny Kevill don't score that penalty, we might lose that and still be in the conference. Luton might not even be in the Premier League now. Just mad things that happen in football that you think, are they just... Do you know what I mean? What could be the sliding doors moment if something don't happen? I think Midson's, for me, is not the most important goal because I think we would have won that game anyway. If he hadn't scored that penalty, I think Fleetwood were there taking anyway, would have gone on and kicked on.
Oh,
and won.
I just, the thought of what happened if we got relegated. We would have been absolutely, and let's be honest, we were absolutely pony.
Them two goals, I think Mark DeBola and Midson's, I think they're both really up there. They are up there for me because of, as you said, if we had got relegated, I don't know where we'd be now. And as I said, if we didn't go up from the Roman Premier League then, that's the scary thing is I don't know where we'd be in the pyramid now. Do you know what I mean? Because there could be a chance that we went down. If we go down, there's pretty much not a huge chance we'll bounce back up because a lot of times...
I agree, No.
And if we do, if we don't, Mark DeBola don't score and we lose that playoff to Staines, there is a possibility we will go straight back up with the Roman Premier League the next season.
Yeah.
But I just don't think we would have had the momentum then to go up again, and another season in Ryman Premier League would have been hard, and we might have lost fans and stuff. And as I said, where'd you go with the ground and stuff? If we're not,
there's no argument that game was massive, and obviously Cumber scored. Didn't he Cumber score first, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's from Nick McDonald. Nick McDonald, one of my favourite AFC Wimbledon players, because he was just a big proper non-league footballer. Crossed the ball. They reckon it was a foul, weren't they? And he crossed the ball, and then Cumbers scored. Geezer on kid on loan from Gillingham. Never really done anything after us. I thought he was going to have a good career, but
it just shows you how many young guys we get and how many loan players look at them, where they are kind of end up. There's not loads.
I always want to say to players who played for AFC Wimbledon in the non-league days, do they wish they had jumped on board from the start? Do you know, like the Mickey Aswells, and who's the other geezer with the massive head that played from us? We got from Hampton, or he went up to Hampton.
What, Alan Innes?
Alan Innes absolutely loved being at Wimbledon once he got there, because he was one of them shit asses. He had 3,000 fans behind him as well. Do you know what I mean? And he just loved it. And I just think, do they wish they jumped on? Because there was not much money in him. Money would have been right. It would have been okay, but you probably would have been.
It would have been the best on the market. But
you'd have been a winner at Wimbledon.
Yeah.
Do you wish you had joined it earlier and just gone like 10 years in non-league with Wimbledon kind of feel? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like Kevin Cooper went, right, I'm leaving Sutton. I'm going to go and play Wimbledon.
Yeah, because he saw it, and that was a clever move for him, because he thought, right, I can score goals at CCL level. I'm banging goals. He'd become our top goal scorer of all time. I got the frame picture still.
Oh, yeah.
50 of them made, I think. Yeah, when he broke the record. But yeah, do you know what I mean? So not really many. I was going to say, there's not many really Combined County goals, is there? Kevin Cooper didn't know.
I mean, obviously the first game at Ash, you could say.
Sanders.
Or Sander. And you got, what was it? Glenn Mulcair scored the first goal for AFC, didn't he?
Bromley away.
That was a great goal.
Yeah, it was. Wasn't it?
So, there isn't loads, I guess, on that. But I think it's just more momentous. But
I'd say, as I said, I was thinking about it the other day. I was thinking about, like, we've had our, as shit as the last couple of years have been, and I do feel sorry for, like, my boy is 14 now, so he hasn't had the Man City playoff final. He had the Wembley one, he had the Plymouth, but do you know what I mean? They do need some more of them, and that's why this season, hopefully, we'll do something, because at the end of the year, we'll get a really important goal, like one that will seal promotion or one that will win us a playoff final. Do you know what I mean? Like, Lyle Taylor's goal is important, but
I mean, I wonder on the scheme of things, it'll be interesting, that first goal for Ali Hamadi at Walsall. The fact that since that game, he's had, what, three games, four goals.
Yeah.
But also, it'll be interesting with that, how that leads up to January, how it leads up to the potential of someone coming in. That could be quite a big goal for our season.
Yeah. That's it.
It's a massive goal for. I think it's a massive goal for our season. But it'll be. What do you reckon? Then, last thing, then, our biggest goal, our most important goal this season. What is it?
What, so far?
Yeah. Do you think Ali's goal was the biggest goal we've had this year? That's been like that. That him now scoring means we go on a run. Do you think it's the win? The first one at Sutton. What do you think is our biggest goal this year? When you're like, right, fucking hell.
Right.
Tilly scoring the first penalty.
None of them.
Is that the bit? What do you mean, none of them? One's got to be the most important.
None of them, or the
biggest goal.
None of them at the moment.
Are you joking?
It's just goals. Oh, it's just goals in 11 game season at the moment.
You're
all about the next game, mate. One game at a time. What's yours?
Ali Alhamidi scoring against Walsall, getting rid of the monkey off his back. Scoring a hat trick the next game, that one goal, finishing off that team when it was 2-1 and we were pretty comfortable, but just getting that win, getting back on track after Stockport, I just think was massive.
Nah, well done, Ali, for us.
I'm proved right, because once we beat Walsall, we beat Tranmere, we beat Harrogate, so I've been technically proved correct.
Right.
Once
on this podcast. Right.
Yeah, but that's fine.
Well, we're doing when we move on, but let us know in the comments and on Twitter or social media what you think is the most important goal. Do you agree with me?
Or don't, Mark just agree with me.
To be fair, it depends on what age you are, because some people might not have seen Mark DeBola's goal, but it was
if you don't know what to do, just agree with me and we can all move on.
Wow, everyone hates me, so they probably will do that.
Well, right. Exactly.
We'll move on. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the Crazy Gang and why Woo-hoo. Were they so successful.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
We're back. We're going to be discussing the Crazy Gang and why they were so successful. Before me and Danny came on, we were talking about it briefly. And I was saying to Danny that I don't believe that we got the credit that we deserve, especially from the press and stuff. Gary Lineker made comments about the Crazy Gang. But Danny, why were we so successful? Because we weren't a team full of stars, so to speak. But if you looked, I think people didn't know how good Wimbledon were. Like, because we had players like Vinnie Jones and people like Mick Hartfords and people like that who would just go battering people, they forget that we did have the Robbie Elves. Do you know what I mean? And the Afana Cuckoos and players like that, Neil Ardley's coming through. Also, I wanted to say to you, before you answer that one, was the Crazy Gang just that one era? Or could you say that the whole of Wimbledon like, was a massive Crazy Gang? Massive, like you had the Batsford before, you had Bobby Gould, you had Joe Kinnear. Do you know what I mean? Is it just one big Crazy Gang? And should we be so scared of it nowadays, really?
Well, I don't really know, and I'm just Googling it, so forgive me. When did the Crazy Gang start? Like, when were we called the Crazy Gang? When did it kind of start? Because it says here, it references a team of the 80s and 90s. They were a British comedy group in the 1930s, but it seems like we were kind of referred to the Crazy Gang from when we went up. In the early 80s, basically, we were the Crazy Gang.
Yeah, I'd say that was probably about right. I was too young in them days, so I had heard of it when we had the Fashes, Vinnie Jones, do you know what I mean? Them players, Robbie Elves, Ben Thatchers, Cunningham, Sagers, they were crazy and Crazy Gang. And all the stuff they used to do off the pitch, so you come to training, you get your clothes burned, or they'd put a dead fish in your car and stuff like that. And
I feel, for me, right, the Crazy Gang thing... For me, I felt that our team had a clear identity and had a clear set of values that they all got. Like, it wasn't going to be okay to not put your foot in. And it wasn't going to be okay. We had a very, very simple demographic of we're looking for youth players to come through. We're looking for bargains that we can get. We're looking for people we can develop. Rather than superstars that can come in. And to be honest, the death of the Crazy Gang was when we started trying to buy players in who were going to do the jobs, like, you know, the Hearts as an example. He was never, ever going to be... He was a great... I thought he was, like... We spoke, didn't we, before about how Hartson was going to be sensational, and I still think he was an amazing buy, but we had an identity as a Crazy Gang of being aggressive, being a little bit outrageous... Making people feel uncomfortable, almost like thwarting what other people were trying to do. But I feel that the reason why we were successful is we had a very, very clear identity regarding how we play and what kind of person joined that group. There weren't many. I mean, there are always some, but it weren't. You were mentioning, you know, Jones, Harford, this sort. Those guys were aggressive, physical players. People like Perry and Cunningham and Leonardson, if you like, and Cuckoo.
Trond Andersen,
except they weren't super physical players, but they were hardworking. They were not very expensive. There was room for progression. We very rarely bought old. We always bought young players to go. It's just there were there, you know, it, we had a really clear, very similar to probably Craig Cope, very similar to the Robbo situation before it went a bit wrong, is that we had a very clear understanding as we're Wimbledon and this is what we are.
Yes.
And we didn't go above our station. We didn't dip our hands in other pots. We just went, this is us and we're going to be this. We never had a huge squad. I just felt like we got our identity right, and we got what we're about, who kind of players. We got all of those demographics right, and that's why we were successful. And we've had loads of what I'd call fake versions of Wimbledon since that haven't really ever kicked off. So, example, Stoke try to become the team that everyone, you know, but can you do it on a Tuesday night at Stoke? That, for me, they were the one of the next Wimbledon types. There's always a bit of a team that you love to hate and a team who do things a bit differently and against the mill. But I felt like Stoke were, they had that decade, didn't they? And now it's probably going to be a Luton, or it's going to be someone who, I tell you what, it's not because of our, but it's like a Brentford type or Brighton who do things in a slightly different way. They're the next group, if you like. But I felt that's for me why we were successful.
Yeah, I totally agree, and I think that's the thing that makes Wimbledon so special, and why a lot like why I fell in love with Wimbledon is that we were always the little small club. We didn't have we didn't have 25,000-30,000 fans. We had 10,000-12,000 diehard fans. We'd take a lot to away. Well, not a lot, but we'd take the diehard. I meant not a lot of fans. We'd take the diehard. So 100-200 fans would go every away game pretty much. But it didn't matter who you were playing. You could be playing Man City with all their billions now, or Man U at the time, or Arsenal. And we could get turned over 5-0. But you also went there knowing that these boys were going to give 100%, put everything in, and we could beat them, which we did. I went to our Highbury and we beat them 4-2. Old Trafford, we talked about earlier when we went up there, and we all scored last minute. But I've also been on some drubbings at these clubs as well. And I think you're right as well with regards to the transfers we went. We went for players that were around the lower leagues, the Ben Thatchers, Cunninghams, they all come from like Millwall. Do you know what I mean? We bought Gal from Brentford, who were what, a League Two team at the time, League One?
Yeah,
pretty much. And said,
hold
look,
up the same.
If you come in and you do a job for us, we are not going to stand in your way if you get a bigger move. Leonardson came in, was brilliant. What, we paid, what, 2 million for Leonardson? I think something.
No, 750,000.
Yeah, something mad like that. And then we sold him for what?
A lot. Three and a half.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? And we also had what I love about Wimbledon now is our youth setup and the fact that we do give, and that's where you can give Mark Robinson a lot of credit for the way he set up. That was very Crazy Gang-esque, our youth setup, because they're all fighting for one thing. They all got a pathway to the first team, and that's what we did as well at Wimbledon FC with the Crazy Gang. We had people like Chris Perry, do you know what I mean? And if you shirked from it and if you weren't going to jump on board with it, and I think it's what a lot of what for me is wrong with modern football is that these players nowadays getting 20 grand contracts at the age of 17, 18, never playing a premiership game in their lives and then being dumped a couple of years later. They might have a bit of money in their pocket, but that's it. They're finished. They're gone. They're not going to do another day's work. Where we kind of said to them, look, you, the old boot cleaning, do you know what I mean? And stuff like that. And the old getting involved with the Crazy Gang because you had to, otherwise you weren't going to make it at Wimbledon and you'd go off to another club and you wouldn't make it there. But you made it at Wimbledon. You knew you made it and you'd done something special there. And
I mean, I feel like with Wimbledon, a lot of players left us to go on to do better things. And we were quite a good place we were a very, very good club for players to come in and kind of cut their teeth, if you like.
Yeah, we'd let them go as men kind of thing.
I think that language is about right. I think we kind of... I think my frustration at the time and now is that I don't think we were quite given the credit
I was just about to say
that we deserved. And the reason why is that I'm not saying it's because we play better football, but I just think we were cute. I think we were very good at nullifying other teams by identifying what they don't really want, we'll give them in spades. And we created around that group a persona of irritability, a persona of irrationality where teams will kind of turn up and go, I don't really know what to expect here. It was like expect the unexpected. You know, you turn up in the change room and Richard
the boom
Keys,
box is going.
Yeah, it's like...
And they've cut the tie off the...
Yeah, we were basically, we were designed to piss other teams off, to be frank. And I think that a lot of teams were all kind of the same and they all kind of turned up and you knew what you were doing. It's very actually similar to why Plough Lane hasn't been as quite as big a fortress as we'd like it. It's because King's Meadow was tight and horrible and dingy and people wouldn't really want to go there and to
be
watch
like
it
the
from
old
a fan. Yeah, and I just feel like we were not about creating a nice environment for you. You were going to come up and we're going to turn your showers cold and we were doing all those horrible little tactics that people don't like. But we weren't bothered about the establishment. We didn't give a monkeys that we weren't liked, but we didn't get the credit we deserved.
My problem with the credit, we didn't get the credit we deserved, is actually we played some good football. And I've seen us play like Wimbledon, and people might laugh at this or scoff at this, but Liverpool do it very similarly to us now. They get the ball from the goalkeeper straight up to the forwards as soon as possible.
Yeah, back to front quick, yeah.
Yeah, back to front quick. We did that quite a lot, and people used to say it was long ball. It wasn't. It was good football. We'd go straight to Fashanu. Fashanu would hold it up, play it into Holdsworth. Holdsworth would score. Do you know what I mean? Or we'd use our wingers, Kimball with his left foot, the wand, for a reason. Ben Thatcher with them came in, and he would absolutely smash people, and people wouldn't want to go down that left win because he's so hard. Cullinan could play as well. We had people like Alvin Leonardson. Then we had Mickey Hughes. Players that could play. Trond Andersen's one of the best players I've seen play football. Robbie L is just an absolute goat for me. And I think these players, if you look at them in the market now, they would be going for millions. I think we'd be selling them for 30, 40, 50 million pound players.
But I disagree with you. I don't think we would, because I think that the game now, I don't think
I was going to say to you, do you think if you put the crazy, like Wimbledon now, into the day,
we would get
Vinnie Jones would not be able to play, unfortunately.
We would get totally
I totally disagree with you. I think you're talking absolute horseshit there, Dan.
How?
Because we had the player, as I said, Robbie L would be immense in today's game.
Robbie L would get nowhere near
anyone,
mate.
He would. He was unreal.
We wouldn't get... The reason being, Lee, is that the way that we would play and the physicality they played in, you just can't touch anyone now.
No, yeah, but Robbie
we
L just,
couldn't
didn't
do
touch
what,
people. People weren't touching
I'm
Robbie
not saying,
L.
But
that's
Robbie
the
L going... Robbie L, there aren't really now loads of midfielders who are proper box-to-box. The game has changed.
Like, that's why we'd smash it.
No, I don't think we would. I think we'd get absolutely destroyed.
No, I think you're talking rubbish. I give you the Vinnie Joneses, the Ben Thatchers, people like that who are very physical. Like that challenge in the 88 Cup final that Vinnie does on that's a sending off today's game.
Vinnie Jones
wouldn't be able to make it in today's game. Fash would struggle a little bit, but I still think he would just bully people. And I think coming up against a Pep team, I don't think Pep would be able to handle Joe Kinnear in Wimbledon. I really don't. And I think Klopp would be going absolutely mental.
Well, you look at...
No, I'm not having it, mate. We beat some of the...
Troy Deeney, right? Troy Deeney would be...
What, better than Harry Kane?
Yeah, I've read that. It was ridiculous. Troy Deeney is probably, of the modern time, probably a similarly type player than Fashanu. Yeah, okay. He battered teams.
Battered Arsenal to pieces, mate.
Yeah, but amazing. Watford got getting relegated. They're a yo-yo team. They didn't know. They'd never really got into Europe. They're not going to make a huge impact because the game was. It's just been too cute. And Kenny Cunningham, it was fantastic as a defender and as he was. But fullbacks are the most aggressive player now, and they've got to can score and they've got to assist. And Cunningham was fantastic. I'm
Alan
not saying
Kimball, the wand.
Alan Kimball again, another one. He would have struggled.
He would not. Not
he would, Alan
mate, we were playing Chelsea's with the Jim Van Cozolas and the Jim Vialis. And LeBouf. Remember LeBouf when he got absolutely beaten up by women and couldn't take it? He was crying when he wanted to be subbed off.
But that's one game. Though,
it wasn't
Lee.
One game. It was
it's
loads
over
of games
a season. Over
We've been
a season.
Six most seasons. Six, seven.
Yeah, then when we could do that.
We'd have been on a European tour in today's day and age, mate. And we'd be battering European teams as well.
We couldn't. Get away with
no.
it, and
I
we
think,
would get
I think
we
would
get caught out quick. I hope they do, because I'm not interested in what they think. I'm interested in
can't
telling
say that
you
about the
we would. No, it's an opinion, isn't it? They can have an opinion. So can I. We
Your
would
opinion
get
on this occasion is wrong.
We would get slaughtered.
No, not having it. Neil Sullivan.
It would
be
brilliant.
One of the better keepers in the Premier League right now.
Neil Sullivan can't kick. He'd be a shambles. You have to be able to kick That lad can't kick. Yeah, how many times did he kick the ball and it would go? He would not last 2 minutes.
Yeah, but that was part of the ploy so we could get Penham in from throw-ins.
In Premier League football now, and maybe I'm being harsh in terms of we get Mullered, but when we're not top half. But without a shadow of a doubt,
I
we
get what
are
you say. It's hard because the football has
the
moved
six,
on so much,
massively.
And the game is so quick nowadays.
And it should do.
I think Chris Perry would put Haaland in his pocket. Wouldn't even be a contest, mate.
I don't know about that. He couldn't look after some of the big guns then. He was a fantastic defender,
mate. Do you even support Haaland Wimbledon?
I love Chris Perry to pieces. I think
do you
even
support
he
Wimbledon?
Been,
yeah, all you've done is just dissed him.
He couldn't even
deal with the big guns back then.
All I'm saying is the game has moved on, and Chris Perry isn't a one man defence. He's got to play with somebody like Dean Blackwell, who for whatever reason, he would always slip over every single game.
Or Reeves, who'd just score on goals.
Or Alan Reeves, who'd forget what day of the week it is. Or Scott Fitzgerald, who'd give it away. Or Brian McAllister, who was actually half decent, but never was fit. Yeah. And actually, what should have happened at some point.
Are you fitting right now?
We should have got a new right back and put Kenny Cunningham next to Perry. But, I'm sick of having the same conversation. I love the Wimbledon team. It was a brilliant team. And it would have been lovely. The biggest crime in football is that we didn't get our shot at Europe.
Yeah,
and we 100%. Would have played with that group in Europe against some of the biggest clubs around. And they would have gone, what the bloody hell?
We would have won Europe.
All about?
We would have won a European Cup.
We would have.
We would have. Andy Brazil was on, right? He's a European football expert, and Andy Brazil agreed with me.
Well, Andy Brazil can agree with you. Wimbledon are not going to win
expert.
A European Cup.
We would.
What I would say is that, my God, it would have been some teams we would have turned up to, and they'd have gone, "What on earth is going on?" And it would have been brilliant to watch. And it is, unfortunately,
it
one
is
of
mad.
The biggest shames in football. In my, it, from a Wimbledon perspective, that the crazy gang, who thoroughly deserved it, didn't get a shot at it.
It is mad when you said, right, all them things you said, like Dean Blackwell couldn't stay on his feet, Reeves had scored own goals, Chris Berry was really small, Alvin Leonardson, he was too small when he came over. Dean Oldsworth was carrying too much weight. Fash just weren't.
I never, you've said half of those. I only said a couple of those.
Vinnie Jones.
You mentioned Dean Oldsworth. I've said nothing about Dean Oldsworth.
Vinnie Jones couldn't play football. He was just he just battered people.
I loved him, but he would not have lasted 2 minutes.
And a lot. This was a lot of things that were going on back then. And Vinnie Jones could play football. He had a long throw and stuff like that as well, and he could batter people. But he could play football as well. And all these comments were said back then. But we'd still finish in two semi-finals. You know what I mean? We still finish sixth, seventh. And that's what I mean. Why, when you look at it on paper and you look at these players and you're going, you've got a 5'9" centre half, like, how are you doing so well? And you're saying about the Haalands today, they were playing against the Shearers, the Roy Keynes, Paul Wince's.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They were playing Beckham. You saw the goal we scored against us. Tony.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
You know what I mean? But we'd still batter teams. But
we would, but also remember we also did get battered a lot as well.
Mate,
we
are
were
you a
quiet.
Wimbledon fan?
I'm allowed. You've asked an opinion about whether
all
Wimbledon
all
would
you're
survive
going on about
now.
Is the negatives.
We're not gonna. Well, no, there were huge positives, but we're not. All I'm saying is, right now, if you took the Wimbledon team in the Premier League with the way that we played, we ain't doing very well.
Top four. Top four. Right. After that bombshell, we'll move on. And when we come back,
listen,
we
would have had a lovely time, but I think we might struggle. Bearing in mind, We aren't the best passing team,
you
and
think,
we're quite physical.
We finished sixth. We should have won the Coca-Cola Cup back then, whatever it was called. And we
Worthington Cup.
We should have won that. We should have finished sixth. We should have got in Europe. We'd have,
but we didn't. We didn't.
We
didn't do any of
that. We would have then won the, what was it? We would have gone into, not Europa. It would have been the Cup Winners' Cup.
We'd have won that. We'd have got the Champions League.
I don't think we'd beat.
Get your head out of the clouds.
Probably would have lost to Madrid in the final or something.
Say what you haven't seen. Mr. Chips, absolutely fast you are today.
Right, when we come
back.
Yeah,
you haven't even mentioned Darren Holloway either.
I had his name on my shirt. Awful footballer.
It was awful footballer.
When we come back, we'll be discussing the Mansfield game on Saturday.
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast. By the fans, for the fans.
Back for the final part of the episode. We're going to preview the Mansfield game on Saturday. Danny, I'm going up there. I'm going to be taking my son up there. I'm going to pick him up, take him and his mate. His mate's first time kind of watching.
Do you like Mansfield as a ground?
It's a modern ground. It's all right. It's a bit too big for him. It's four stands. It's a bit like...
No, it's not four. It's three stands, isn't it?
No, they've got a fourth one there.
No, the whole of the left side was... Unless they've done it recently.
They've done it recently.
When we went, it was last year, it was empty.
Yeah, I think they've done it.
Sure. Last time, and it wasn't empty because they were doing any building. It was just empty.
Field Mill. Now, there's a little stand there. There's a little one. Yeah, it's a small one.
And they're unbeaten.
Yes.
Does that bother you?
No, nothing bothers me about this season at the moment now, mate. I think we'll go out there. I think this is going to be our toughest test so far. Tougher than Wrexham, tougher than Stockport. Because Stockport should have been our toughest test, and it was a tough test on the day, but they had five players missing. The weather had a massive impact on that game as well. Where, as you said, these are unbeaten. It's... What is it?
But they've also drawn... They've also drawn seven?
They are in seven. Yeah, they've drawn seven. Only won four games.
Yeah.
Only one
and
more.
They,
one
and
more,
they've
more
got lessons. A good defensive record. But, yeah, so what are you expecting from us? Are you...
They've drawn the last four...
That's what I'm saying.
Three games.
They're massive draw specialists. Are you expecting... Are you changing the squad, the team?
Depends on how they've come back from Harrogate. If I change, I'd like to go with the same team again. It's if they come back fully fit, because we don't want to lose. This is a very tough month for us coming up now. I think it's the toughest month. As Jules said the other week on the pod, we've got, what is it, Bradford at home, who have just sacked Glenn Hodges and Mark Hughes. So they're going to have the new manager bounce.
The new manager bounce.
By the time we play them, we then have what? Barrow away, Morecambe away on alternative weekends, and then we have Accrington at home in there somewhere.
In between.
It's a tough, tough month against proper League Two teams. Barrow and Morecambe, it's crap and Morecambe, it's a tough place to go. Barrow's a tough place to go. Oh, that Mansfield's really tough on Saturday, really tough. I think we need to use our squad. I think we'd have been better off using it on Tuesday. I can see Nurfield coming back in for Sasu. Yeah,
definitely.
I can see possibly Ball coming in for either Little or Reeves. I can't see him taking Reeves out, though. He's our captain, orchestrator.
I think the Ball conversation definitely is live.
Yeah, but who are you taking out? Because both Little and Reeves... Yeah, but Little's been unreal. Watch him, man. His runs and his movement is unbelievable.
It's not necessarily about how well they're playing. It's just the fact of we have to kind of rotate the squad. Because they looked leggy as hell against Harrogate.
A lot of moans at the moment with regards to Jackson, and this is most people that will moan at Jackson no matter
really?
What he does.
Anyone moan at Jackson now?
But his subs. Because they were late against Harrogate. I didn't expect to see that team against Harrogate. I thought we'd have changed it round for that game. Do we just trust him that he knows where these players are with regards to injuries? It was one of his big bugbears last year, weren't it? Regards to he played players when they were injured and shouldn't have done.
Yeah.
We've got a bigger squad this year. We've got players like Morgan Williams who can't even get in the squad at the moment.
Yeah.
Do we change it? But do we just say to him, right, well, you're the manager. You trust what the medics are saying to you. They've come home. They've had today off. They'll train slightly on Thursday and Friday. Do you know what I mean? Or they might have Thursday off as well and then train Friday before going up to Mansfield on Saturday. It's only up the road. So that's a hotel job.
Do you think, what do you mean, Matt? What do you mean just up the road? Mansfield, they're definitely staying overnight.
Well, it's about 2 hours.
2 hours? Are you stupid?
It's 2.5 hours for me, mate. No, it's 3.5 hours for me.
You're right. Here we go.
Get a train then.
What, Wimbledon? No, they're staying overnight, mate.
Well, even if they're staying overnight, so that's even better for us. I don't know. I don't know if I change it around too much. You don't want to be changing. It's hard because Bugle and Ali are bringing up a partnership now. Bugle scored the other day. Ali scored four now. I think them two have got to stay in.
Yeah.
Again, I think
particularly
we trust the medics and see what they say.
Particularly Ali Hamady, who's potentially going away after. I think that's 100% is what's going to happen. Ali Hamady will start from.
If Evans is back, would you be inclined to take Tilly out? Because I don't think Tilly's had the best two games, the last two. I think he's been quite ineffective. Would you have him off the bench, Tilly, and then bring Evans in? Because Evans was really good against Walsall.
Well, if Evans is fit, then I'm playing to if Tilly missed one. We need to freshen it up some way. I would be very tempted to keep Ali Alhamidi, keep Omar Bougiou if they're fit. I would change Little for Ball. I'd definitely change Sasu for Nerfil. I would entertain a conversation about Tilly for Evans. I'm happy to make that change. No problem. The defence stays as is, though. I don't change the defence. So I don't know much, about Filler.
I think it's just trusting what the medics say and say, yeah, do you know what I mean? Because I think you're right with that. As I said, Tilly, I think he's been a bit off it the last two games and maybe he needs to rest again. Do you know what I mean? And Evans was brilliant against Walsall, looked really good. If he's fit, I'd be inclined to maybe give him a start and saying to him, go and do what you did last time. I don't know much about Mansfield. I don't think Hartigan still there?
No, he's at Barnet, mate.
He is at Barnet. See, all these people were loving up Ante Hartigan, who was never good enough.
I don't know.
Was he? Come on, let's have an honest conversation. We got Kane for mugging him off. I don't know much about them. As you said, they're draw specialists. What are you going prediction-wise then, Danny? I don't know if I'm going to do my prediction out loud, though.
All right, well, don't then. That's your attitude.
Because I don't want you cheating.
Don't want you cheating.
Well, I've got to be top now, haven't I?
Don't be stupid. We're all chasing the bus, mate.
Is he still
he's churning. There were a couple. One guy got 6 points.
Who? Lee Finch?
No, not Finch. So I'll WhatsApp you his name and you can make a big deal out of him. I feel like we've played well enough to get a win, but they're obviously quite hard to beat. But at the same time, if you've been playing 11 games, at some point you're going to lose. And we're playing well enough to be successful. So I am going to say 2-2.
Yeah, I was looking at Desmond.
But yeah, I am
inclined to go to a 2-1 loss because I think we need to make changes because of the games coming up in October. I don't know if I think we might have to make too many changes and it might disrupt the team a bit. And also Mansfield, a good side, and you're going away from home. I know our away record's really good at the moment, but yeah, I mean, you can't keep just battering teams. I think I'll go 1-1 draw, actually. 1-1 draw.
Yeah.
Go with the boys. As long as we play well, like we have done. As I said, I trust the squad. It's a good squad this year. I'd have Ball coming in. He looks a good player. Yeah, and hopefully we can get after Mansfield. And hopefully they will, away from home, we let them come onto us and we hit them on the break.
Well, we are brilliant away from home.
We are.
So I think it's a good place. Can I to take this opportunity now just to give my mate Kev my best wishes.
Yes.
Kevin Foster, whose granddad was Sid Dunnett, who was a very, very big Wimbledon fan. Kev has done, and it's a bit of a tribute to him, and he'll probably just hate me if he ever speaks to me again. Kev is arguably one of the more selfless people who work at Wimbledon. He's done such a great job with the girls, and I know losing his granddad will be gutting for him. So I just want to publicly just put out there a little bit of love to Kev and his family, his wife Kels, and everyone else who's associated with Sid, who I didn't know him personally, but sounding like a really, really great bloke. And I hope Kev is all right. And I hope all of the family can rally around each other at a difficult time because, it very, very sad news this week.
Well said, Danny. I was going to say condolences to Kevin and his family and to Alice, Sid's wife as well, who unfortunately passed away during the week. So yeah, well said, Danny.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I'd like to also say thanks to Season Master for sponsoring the podcast. Gary Fletcher and the boys. I'd like to have a shout out to a good friend of mine as well, Martin, down at Lost Boys. I did shout him out last week, but obviously that was lost on our Lost Tapes.
the Lost Tapes.
People also, I see a few things today that people don't realise that the Sunday debrief we do, every Sunday, obviously, at 8 o'clock, we go through it, give everyone a chance to come on. It's on Twitter Spaces. I know not everyone has Twitter, but we record over Twitter Spaces. Anyone can come on, speak, send a comment regarding the game on the Saturday or anything else that's happened during the week at Wimbledon. A lot of people didn't know it was a podcast as well. My boy Joe, he turns it into a podcast within the hour. So yeah, people didn't realise that. So, yeah, the debrief is under Twitter Spaces. It's under our link tree. Yeah, so you can listen to the Sunday debrief anytime you want. It is a podcast as well. across all your favorite podcast apps. But yeah, I just wanted to send that out because I see a few people today didn't realize actually they could listen to it again. So
yeah,
we've done that because you moaned about it, didn't you? Your dad couldn't listen. So
yeah,
Joe shorted it out. Yeah.
I don't think he knows how to navigate that sort of stuff. So I'm going to train him up. But no, it's good. And again, a little plea, come and get involved. If you hear something, go, oh, you're chatting nonsense or anything else like that, let us know. There is going to be a pre-Christmas thing where I'm going to need a handful of people potentially. So you have been warned. Please, if you do fancy coming on, yeah, just drop us a message. There's been a few people who've come on.
Everyone loved the Damien Francis interview last week. So if you do know any ex-Wimbledon, because most of us know AFC Wimbledon players and stuff, ex-Wimbledon FC players, Michael Hughes, if you're good friends with Trond Andersen, or you know anyone that played for Wimbledon or anything, and they'd be
if
happy
anyone
to come
is
on
mates with Vinny Jones or has any contact with Vinny Jones, he is literally, I don't get starstruck or anything like that. He is the only person on the whole planet. If I met him, I might totally lose the plot.
He listens to the pod.
He doesn't listen to the pod.
He does, right?
He doesn't listen to the podcast.
He thinks you're a prick, so...
Oh, yeah, that's annoying.
He said, I'd come on, I love the chipsy geezer. He said, but
I love the bloke from Catchphrase, but the other guy, the fat Ben Affleck, is embarrassing.
The fat Ben Affleck geezer is not for me. That's what.
Maybe I have to go through Ben Affleck. He must have any jokes.
Say to him, look, I've been told I look like you, but carrying an extra pound... And then he might
happen to have a video on his mobile.
We're going on again. Thanks to Season Master. Thanks to everyone else. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We are the number one AFC Wimbledon podcast. The Wombs Had a Dream. My name's Lee. That's Danny. Thank you very much. Come on, you dons.
Bye.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.